Greetings and welcome once again to another edition of Throttle Up. And I would like to extend a warm and fond greeting to all of you critical thinkers out there to the Throttle Up radio show. And this is a radio show that showcases critical thinking, and it is designed to inform, delimit, empower, and amaze. Now, all aboard the Throttle Up Express, which is powered by High Velocity Reason. And I am your host and guide for this journey. I'm Captain Kevin Smith, U.S. Navy retired. I'm a naval aviator and former Top Gun instructor, airline pilot, and designer of large-scale adaptive systems. And so I guess you could say that I'm a pioneer in the field of critical thinking and high-velocity reason. Now, our tagline for the show is accelerate beyond the ordinary, and our motto is to employ high-velocity reason to achieve high-octane performance. Our key performance objective is to provide viable solutions to our most pressing problems, and to do so as to reliably achieve mission success. So I guess you could say that what we're trying to do here is we're trying to be successful, all of us working together. And how do we do that? How do we achieve mission success in our lives, in our business, in our military organizations, in our families, and stuff like that? And so that's the whole point, I guess, of this radio show. In our mission statement, which I actually modify from time to time, very slightly, but this is the mission statement that I've come up with now for this period of time, is to provide our listening audience with a relatively easy yet effective way to strengthen our power of reason through the employment of critical thinking and to never relinquish this power to anyone. So I guess the whole idea here is to strengthen our power of reason and never relinquish that, because our power of reason is the most powerful thing that we have as humans, and to use that to achieve mission success, success in our lives, success in the lives of others that work with us or for us or that we work for. So that's the whole idea behind Throttle Up. We do look at things like what's going on in this country from a socio-political standpoint, and also from a socio-economic standpoint. We do look at those things from a critical thinking perspective, or another way of saying that is through the lens of critical thinking. And this particular series of shows is something that we have always wanted to do, and we felt that it was time now to provide our listeners with a bit more in the way of specifics or a bit more in the way of detail on what exactly is the critical thinking model. But before we get into that, our website is throttleupradio.com, and that is throttleupradio.com. And on the website soon, hopefully it'll be this week, we will have posted the critical thinking model as part of our critical thinking tutorial that this show represents. And like I said, now, I guess I'm getting ahead of myself, but this is the second volume, if you will, or second show in the series of what we call the critical thinking tutorial. And this will probably be a three series set. It might even be four. It kind of depends on how things go. So one more administrative item before we proceed into the show. The audio engineering services for this show is provided by Evergroove Studios, and they are located in Evergreen, Colorado. Great group of folks. They've been very helpful, and they've really been doing a fantastic job for us. Now, this show, or I could say Throttle Up, is typically organized into three parts. And we're going to modify that very slightly for this particular series of tutorials, but essentially it's three parts for Throttle Up. Part one, of course, is a continuing discussion of critical thinking in various aspects and various manifestations. Part two is our storyboard, and it's a story of America, story of Americans. It's a story of how we can be successful by adopting the lessons learned from past experiences. So the storyboard is a understanding of what works. And here's a really, I think this is a really interesting way to think about the storyboard. The storyboard is, in fact, a story, but it puts forth an aspect of performance that we call best practices. And best practices now is becoming quite popular in this country. It is quite popular also, for example, in Singapore. I was recently there delivering a talk, and that's all they talked about in Singapore was best practices. And so I guess you could say that part two is our attempt to come to grips with what we would consider to be best practices going forward. And then, of course, part three is our radio essay, and that is a bit more specific treatment of a particular subject that we have identified, perhaps from part two. But the radio essay could also be a book report or other things that we find to be of interest across the board. All right, so all aboard the Throttle Up Express, and this is a place where all critical thinkers are welcome with open arms. And when I say critical thinkers, I'm talking about all of you out there, including myself. If you don't think that you are a critical thinker, then you'd be surprised with a little bit of help and encouragement that you most assuredly are critical thinkers. And this is where America finds solutions to its most pressing problems. Okay, so that completes our introduction. And now, on to part one. Okay, welcome to Throttle Up Part 1 for this special edition of the Throttle Up Radio Show. Part 1 is our continuing discussion of critical thinking, but we're going to break this into three parts, but primarily this special edition is really all about critical thinking. But for the purposes today, and this is the second volume in our critical thinking set, and I think there's going to be three shows that deal with the critical thinking aspects of this subject, which we call a critical thinking tutorial. So before we get into the critical thinking superhighway, which we will do very shortly. I have some additional remarks I want to make to prepare ourselves for this journey that we're about to take, and that is this. Why do we need critical thinking in the first place? And I began that discussion in part one or the volume one of critical thinking the last time. And so this should be viewed or listened to in sequence, of course, to make most sense out of it. But I'm going to try to answer that question right now because I'm sure many of you are thinking, okay, well, what has this got to do with myself? What has this got to do with life in general? What has this got to do with America? And my answer, my short answer for all of those questions is it has everything to do with it, right? It has everything to do with America. It has everything to do with you, your life, and your success in life. In my view, I think we need citizens to become critical thinkers and to insist that this be the foundation skill for everyone. Now, you may ask yourself right now this question, but Kevin, what about STEM, which is all the rage right now, I guess, which is science, technology, engineering, and math? Don't we really want our people to be more skillful in these areas because of this high-tech world we are living in, this modern industrial society? And my answer, from one who has designed and operated highly technical systems for a lifetime, is these are certainly important subjects, but others are equally as important, such as psychology, music, art. And why do I say that? Well, because they are. And what we want is we don't want narrowly defined specialists anymore. That's becoming passé. That's being increasingly recognized as the wrong way to go. We want a person that is well-versed in multidisciplinary issues and concepts. So I would to go on to say that all the science, engineering, and math in the world will not be enough in our modern industrial era without a firm foundation of how to think critically. And that ought to be the foundation by which everything else is built. All right, so our first order of business as we train ourselves and our young people, as middle-aged and even old people, as we train ourselves and establish training programs and educational programs, the first order of business is we must be able to create a population of humans that can think critically across the board. And when I say across the board, think of the board as consisting of all the disciplines that you can think of. All right? That's the board. Now, we need to be able to think critically across that board. And that board represents the jobs and the vocations and the disciplines that we have today in our modern industrial world. That's the board. We need to be able to think critically across that board. And you might say, okay, well, isn't it true that each discipline stands alone, stands by itself? All right. That has been a fairly popular view up until recently. That view is profoundly wrong, right? So let me say that again, and this is particularly important as we go forward. That view that each discipline stands on its own merits is actually, while it may be convenient to think that, it's what we would call a convenient fiction, and that view is entirely wrong. And more people are now recognizing that. More and more people are demanding a multidisciplinary approach to their training. More and more people are demanding a multidisciplinary approach with respect to the jobs and the job descriptions that they have for their particular employment or vocation. Okay, so that's, I guess you could say that that's a little bit outside the box, okay, maybe quite a bit outside the box, but that's all part of what Throttle Up is all about. Throttle Up is about thinking outside the box. Throttle Up is all about non-conventional thinking, non-conventional understanding of what's going on. And Throttle Up is all about innovation too. I would like to point out as a major point, and I think I have mentioned this before, but it bears repeating, over a 10-year period, this large insurance company called Munich Re, which is located, I believe, in Germany, found that human-caused design errors cost the technical industry more than $1.5 trillion over a 10-year period. Now, boy, this is a lot of money. This is a lot of money that could have been used productively, but was not. It was wasted on our failure to think critically. So human-caused design errors is a classic example of the failure to think critically. Now, just think that if we spent even a small fraction of this $1.5 trillion on targeted training and education in the area of critical thinking, just think about how much more productive we could become as a nation. All right, and then I'm gonna end this discussion here in part one to talk a little bit about politics from a political standpoint. So under the heading of politics, my view of politics is based on this out-of-the-box thinking that critical thinking provides. And I would go on to say that it is, again, this is my view, it is disheartening to me to realize that in this country, in Europe, South America, Asia, and Africa, socialism is attempting a comeback. Now, that's pretty disturbing. In my view, the main reason for this is that conservatism, Americanism, private property, free market proponents, and entrepreneurs, we all, and I'm going to group myself in that unabashedly, put myself in that group, we all need additional weapons to battle this war of ideas more effectively. And critical thinking, in my view, is such a weapon. All right, so that's my take on politics and how we can use critical thinking in the area of political discourse. One final point before we get on to part two. Under problem solving, this is under the heading of problem solving, one cannot effectively deal with a challenging situation looking through the lens of the specifics of the occurrence. To be effective, one must change lenses to one that considers the abstract nature and the particular model of reality encountered. So we need to model. We model things by using abstract thinking, or another way of saying that is to use abstract reasoning. So abstract reasoning and analytic reasoning go hand in glove. They are often one and the same because you cannot reason effectively and in real time without using the power of abstraction. Critical thinking then, as I continue, provides us the means by which we construct such a model. All right, so that's some of the justification and rationale for what we are attempting to do in this series of shows, series of Throttle Up shows that discuss critical thinking, or that we call the critical thinking tutorial set. Now, on to part two. Okay, this is part two of Throttle Up, and this is a special edition, like I said, of Throttle Up, which represents the Critical Thinking Tutorial, Volume 2, or Unit 2, if you will. This is the second hour show of this Critical Thinking Tutorial. Now, before I get involved in the specific Critical Thinking Superhighway, which is coming up shortly, I did want to make a few remarks here to get us, let's say, to get our minds moving in the right direction together, to establish a basic understanding of what we're doing, and so it doesn't sound so outrageous to perhaps some of you. So in this discussion here, what I would like to do is to talk about, very briefly, talk about the history of models. Now, when we talk about the Critical Thinking Superhighway and when we talk about the Critical Thinking Tutorial, what we're doing is that we are presenting a critical thinking model that has been verified operationally. Okay, so it is not strictly a theoretical discussion here. It's not strictly a theoretical series of complex elements, but it is a model, and it's been operationalized so that it actually does function in the real world. It does function in attempting to solve real-world problems. And so we're going to get into all of that. And that's kind of an exciting thing to consider when we talk about critical thinking and the critical thinking model. We are talking about something that has proven itself to be useful in the operational environment. So it is, in fact, a good problem-solving device. All right, so a brief history. All right, I'm going to talk a little bit about models. All right, so first of all, a model is more or less an abstract representation of something. And a model ought to be useful for many particular applications of this representation. It ought to be able to help us in our thinking about what's going on in reality, if you will. All right, what is our model of reality with respect to this particular situation that we have encountered? Now, is each situation unique, or does many situations that we have encountered in our lives, do they have some kind of a common thread, or are there common elements to the particular situations so that we can begin to understand them better and to ease our burden of memory, as well as improve our ability to perform within the context of this particular situation. And so models are very useful. We don't use them enough. They're becoming more and more popular as we move into the new intellectual frontier and we start dealing with what has often been called cognitive systems and other things like that, collaborative reasoning between man-machine, the operation of a large-scale dynamic system subject to human control. That's a particularly challenging aspect of our modern lives in this modern industrial world. And so how do we do all of that? Well, in general, it would be to create a particular model or to create models of a particular aspect of reality. So where do models come from? In our modern, we can say in our modern world, okay, models have been used across, you know, all across history. But for our modern world, which began sometime in the early 1900s, let's say, models were first used in the early 1900s in World War I. The World War I aviators began to think in terms of models to improve the performance of those aviators, particularly improve the performance of young and experienced aviators. We wanted to help them along without them crashing prematurely and dying on us. We wanted to keep them around. And so in World War I, the aviation community, in the military aviation community, began to think in terms of models. And that is, in my view, one of the first times they were used. And then somewhere around, let's say this is probably the late 60s, might even be mid-70s. Colonel John Boyd, I've talked to him on many, many occasions. Colonel John Boyd, U.S. Air Force, he created the first operationally useful decision model, which is also goes by the name of the OODA loop. We talked about that in the last show. And just for a review, that is the OODA loop is observe, orient, decide, and act. And that is a model, but it's a dynamic model. So it keeps refreshing itself. And that's the reason for the word loop. It keeps looping around to reconsider how things are going after they have been acted upon. As part of that decision model that Boyd came up with, he also came up with what's called maneuver warfare theory. And that was a particularly effective set of discussions, if you will, or theoretical aspects of maneuver warfare, which have subsequently proven themselves to be quite effective in the real world. Also, the mission performance model was developed in the early 1990s by a guy by the name of Smith. That happens to be me. So the mission performance model for air transport operations was first developed by me, and it was used very effectively in the construction of training programs and performance evaluations of airline pilots. Also, about the same time, the crew resource management model was developed by a guy by the name of Helmreich out of the University of Texas at Austin. And that also proved to be a pretty effective model for performance, human performance in team environments working under complex situations. And then shortly thereafter, sometime in the mid-1990s, the operational decision model was developed by Smith and LaRue. Smith is, of course, me. And LaRue was a co-author of one of the books that we published. And then, sometime in the late 90s, the situation awareness model was developed by Ensley. And then, finally, the general performance model for humans performing in complex situations. That was developed by Dorner and the Max Planck Institute. And then there were additional things that we should consider as part of this set of ideas that I'm discussing. General systems theory developed by Bertalanffy is also a very useful to understand the basic outlines of this theory. I would also add information theory by Shannon is quite useful. Also, the first critical thinking model based upon psychology or the psychology of human thinking. That was actually developed some years ago by Paul and Elder. And that's a particularly good, albeit psychologically focused, critical thinking model. And it's got some pretty good ideas in it, but it is not something that you would necessarily use from an operational standpoint, particularly if you're operating in complex situations under increased time compression. You need something a bit more useful. And finally, that leads us to the critical thinking model for operators and managers, and that was developed by me. Okay, so that is our lead up to the critical thinking superhighway, which is where we are going to be discussing the model in various aspects of it. Very well, we'll be discussing them next. So, on to part three. Okay, this is Throttle Up Part 3. Now, this particular show is the second volume of a probably a three-volume set, although I'm beginning to think we may actually create a fourth volume or a fourth component here of this critical thinking tutorial. But anyway, this is volume two, and this is part three. And so here we are going to be discussing the critical thinking superhighway as a way for us to understand and come to grips with the critical thinking model that we will shortly introduce for operators and managers. Now, why do we have such a thing? Well, for one thing, what we have discovered, a shortcoming in our thinking, if you will. And this was brought out many times over the last 50, 60 years with very little attention being paid to it. It was mostly ignored. But the problem is this. As we have moved into our modern industrial world, things have become and are becoming more complex, right? So what do we do about it? Do we just sort of like redouble our efforts? We hunker down, we do the best that we can, or do we find better solutions to our efforts to deal with a complex world and make better decisions, even though the situation may be more challenging and more complex than we had originally thought it would be? And this is often the case, by the way. So that's why we have a critical thinking model for operators and managers, is to have us to give us the ability to think critically in situations that are challenging and that are complex and often don't allow us the luxury of time. So we are operating under what we call increased time compression. Okay, so let us get going on this critical thinking superhighway. So please join me as we start our journey into the world of critical thinking. And this will be, I am quite certain that this will be a enjoyable and fascinating journey for all of us. I have found it to be so, and I'm sure that you will too. This will be an enjoyable, fascinating journey into the world of critical thinking and various aspects of it. Okay, so all aboard the Throttle Up Express. We are now entering the critical thinking superhighway. And this is powered by, critical thinking is powered by innovation and creativity. Now, as I mentioned in the last show, and I'm going to repeat myself here, so forgive me for a moment, but critical thinking, we can say, is a skill that can be learned. In fact, it is not hard to learn it. It's just a little bit different way of thinking about things, but it is a skill. It is a cognitive or a mental skill, and it can be learned fairly easily. It's fairly straightforward. It lends itself to practice. So the more you practice it, the more you practice a skill, the better you become at it, just like any other skill. And when used with intent, it will produce amazing results. And I'm really not overstating that when I say that. And another way of saying that is prepare to be amazed. And I don't really mean to overstate that at all. I'm not overstating it. You'll be surprised at how effective critical thinking is, how it can basically change your life. Critical thinking can fundamentally change your life, and it will change it for the better. It will change it for yourself, your colleagues, your family, your community, as well as our country. Now, the critical thinking motto is, and we're going to keep this pretty simple here, all right? This is designed to be understood. It is designed to be easily remembered. It is designed to be operationally useful. So we do that by first creating a motto. All right. So this is the critical thinking motto. And it's got three simple words. It is this. It's clarify, reason, and win. That's our motto, okay? So as part of the critical thinking population, if you will, it includes you and me, we have a motto, right? And it's a motto that we live by. It's clarify, reason, win. What do we mean by that? All right. Very simply, it's clarify the actual. That's what we mean by clarify. It is reason analytically and to perform with precision and win. So it's clarify, reason, win. Now you notice that reason becomes sort of like a big deal here because it is not something that is typically used in our decision-making process, but we will make it so. We will examine what we mean by analytic reason versus ad hoc reason. All right. Our critical thinking model follows, or it is modeled after, sorry about that. Let me restate that. I think I'm getting a little confusing here, and I'm confusing myself. But the critical thinking model is, in fact, organized like a system, or like any system. So it uses what we would consider to be a key aspect of general systems theory. So like any system, and our brains are a system, big system, complex system. So like any system, we have an input to it, and then we have a process. So we have an input, we process that input in some form or fashion, and then we provide an output. So it's input, process, output. And that becomes the architectural structure of the critical thinking model. Okay? It has an input, it has a process, and it finally has an output. Now, the next thing that we want to consider with respect to our critical thinking model is that if we want to achieve at the end of this process, if we want to achieve mission success, and that's our goal here, is that we're not doing this because it's popular or because we want to feel good. We're doing this because we want to achieve mission success. And in doing so, we have to somehow conceptually identify what is the zone of assured mission success. What is that zone? What is that place that we want to reside? Where do we want to go? Well, we want to go to a place that will help us ensure mission success. Now, this place, and this is particularly important, and this is something that we discovered when we were dealing with the critical thinking model for operators and managers, and this was not really well understood. But the zone of assured success is not opinion-based, okay? Critical thinking gives us the analytic tools by which to base our analysis. It is not based on anyone's opinion, if you will. So when we are formulating when we are operating within the realm of critical thinking, our outputs or our conclusions or our solutions with respect to this critical thinking process, this is not just our opinion. It is, in fact, analytically based. And as we have discovered in doing this for a long period of time, what we've discovered is that this output, these solutions, are in fact analytically valid solutions. So there shouldn't be any argument with respect to the output or the solutions, and it should be embraced by all critical thinkers. Now, the next stop on our journey on the critical thinking highway is particularly important, and this gets to the heart of what we mean by critical thinking, what we mean by analytic reasoning, what we mean by complex problem solving. How do we actually do that? And I'm not talking about a specific problem. We don't decompose the event into its specific constituent parts right away. The first thing we do is we have to understand from a critical thinking standpoint that when you and those around you are confused or uncertain, the solution here is to seek higher ground. Okay, let me say that again, because this really begins the process of how we can engage critical thinking into our thinking process. When you and those around you are confused or uncertain, seek higher ground. And what does that mean? Higher ground means that you're moving up on the ladder of abstraction, if you will. You're moving to higher ground. You're going to a higher level of abstraction. So we're not looking at the world through the specifics of the occurrence. We're looking at the world through a different lens. And critical thinking provides us with a different way for us to view the world. It gives us a different lens. We can say that this is the critical thinking lens, if you'd like that. I like to think of it as that, as well as the abstract reasoning lens. Let's view the world, or let's install on our viewer, all right, an abstract structuring lens so that we can understand reality from a more abstract point of view. And once we do that, then we can begin the process of modeling this particular a set of circumstances, this particular encountered aspect of reality. We can create our model of reality so that we are not overwhelmed by complexity and confusion. Now, here's something that I think was always useful, you know, in my work, and I think it will be useful in yours as well. And that's this. When we engage our critical thinking processor, if you will, if we engage the critical thinking mechanisms that we will eventually learn to use, why do we do that, and what are they for? They're to help us primarily to deal with situations that are complex and uncertain. So that's why we engage the critical thinking processor, is because without that, we will be stymied, we will be immobilized, we will be consistently confused, and we will be wandering in the quagmire of complexity and never being able to figure out exactly what's going on and what to do about it. And so critical thinking then enables us to more effectively, more productively deal with situations in which complexity and uncertainty prevail. All right, so the critical thinking model then addresses itself to, among other things, to two very important aspects of reality which are often encountered, and that is complexity and uncertainty. All right, so the first thing we do when we encounter a complex and uncertain situation, the first thing we do is we are, let's say, confused. So when you and I are confused and uncertain, seek higher ground, okay? And that will enable us to break through this confusion, break through this veil, and begin to understand exactly what's going on, begin to clarify the actual, and to begin to formulate a response to this situation that we have now clarified. All right, so that is one of the key stops on our journey on the critical thinking superhighway. The other stop is related to this. It says, consider higher levels of abstraction to overcome the confusion that is caused, no doubt, by complexity. So let me rephrase that slightly. Consider moving your thoughts into a higher plane, if you will, or consider moving your thoughts into a higher level of abstraction to, first and foremost, overcome confusion that may very well be caused by complexity and uncertainty. All right, so that's the power of abstraction. Very, very powerful tool here. Very powerful. And that's one of the things that is a major component of the critical thinking model and a major aspect of this critical thinking tutorial that we have ongoing. So I can see by the clock that we are now completing our second volume of this critical thinking tutorial, which deals with the critical thinking model for operators and managers. This critical thinking model is operationalized, or another way of saying that is it is an operationalized version of critical thinking, and it takes its cue, and it takes its, I guess you could say it also takes its authority from the first critical thinking model that was developed by Colonel John Boyd, and it just expands on that. But it acknowledges and utilizes the basic concepts that have been used to formulate that model. And it just stands on the shoulders of this giant that we call Colonel John Boyd and helps us to better understand how to go forward in our quest to learn as much as we can about critical thinking. So that completes our critical thinking tutorial, volume 2 for this week. And as always, thank you, all of you out there, all of you in the listening audience, thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. We have enjoyed doing this show, particularly this series, enjoyed it very much. And also, I would like to thank all of my fellow veterans out there. Thank you for your service. I am proud and honored to be a member of your amazing group.